Kuzampo, and welcome to another segment of Expressions. I'm your producer, Gizan Wangmo, and for today's segment, we have a very interesting personality here in our studio, and he is none other than Sering Topge Jamso, TTJ, also known as Shinkom, his rap name. And yes, he's a rapper, a lyrical genius, if I may say. He's out there to promote Songkhla in his own artistic way, is how I would put it. So yes, before we I know I've given a little bit of an introduction, but would you like to introduce yourself? How would you describe yourself?
My name is Sering Topge Jamso. Then my stage name is Shinkom. The name Shinkom was I picked it up from Tan Dee Sonam.
Okay.
I'm a fan of his. He had a movie called Shinkom in 2014, mm-hmm. a movie which unfortunately I couldn't go to watch since I had trial exams. And ever since then, I had kept my IG handle as Shinkom, and the IG handle just sort of translated over to my rap name when I decided to chase my dreams.
You, especially you, Shinkom, and your group of friends, you guys are known as Bayol, right? Bayol 301, mm-hmm. is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you know, you guys have been doing such an amazing, you know, job at showcasing your talents.
Thanks,
your
sir.
Artistic talents, and it's amazing. I think it's you guys are getting a lot of attention these days. I think we were watching your Saipot episode.
Oh.
As well.
It
and it was amazing. It was really great. And me and my friend, we were talking about how this the episode was really interesting, and you guys were sharing a lot about yourselves as well. So we got to know a little bit about you. And you know, I wanted to ask you about the Amini title. Yeah, so like, yeah, tell us your story. How, I think this was supposed to be your rap name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did it change to Shinkom?
Like, when I first started rapping, I really didn't have a rap name, so I was just thinking, and aside from another Zoom, I was mm-hmm. going for a walk to Moji Park,
mm.
and in my earphones, a song where Travis Scott was playing. It was I think it was Stargazing.
Mm-hmm.
Stargazing by Travis Scott. And my earphone batteries died all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, when it died, Travis Scott was saying, when you make it to the top, it's the amenities. And before he said amenity,
mm-hmm.
The earphones cut off at ameni. So I thought, oh, nice name. I'll take that name.
Mm-hmm.
So then I decided to rap under the name Amini.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a single song, Thimpu Wonderland.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then Norla and everyone was saying that name really doesn't stick well to the Putney psyche. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So they said that my IG handle is Shinkom. Why not keep Shinkom? Then I decided, yeah, Shinkom Lutubese.
Oh, okay. So that's why you dropped
yeah.
Amini. Okay, that's an interesting story. And now, you know, we have been schoolmates for a really long time, right?
Mm.
I think starting from middle school, we have,
class
from class 8, we have known each other, we have seen each other around, and, you know, you used to be called Scientist. I still remember you by this name, Scientist, and, you know, we all saw you topping your classes and doing amazing academically. And tell us about that. How was your academic life?
The name Scientist, I really didn't like that name.
Oh.
I didn't choose the name, and yeah. for a while I didn't even know I was called Scientist.
Oh, okay.
The other people from other classes called me Scientist.
Yeah, exactly.
People from my class, they called me Sing Tau Gera.
Oh,
so
okay.
It only kind of stuck at class 11, Lungzamba Tsabe, when my Lungzamba classmates, they all separated into other schools
section.
And sections.
Yeah.
Then people started calling me Scientist because of... Because at YHS, I had newer classmates, newer people, and I guess they heard that I was called Scientist because
it was because of that?
Yeah, probably because of that.
Yeah.
So,
but what I heard was that because you were really like good in your, you know, pecha, your academics, so I thought maybe that's why you were called Scientist.
I really don't think so, because there were many people who were much, much better than me in academics, mm-hmm. and they weren't.
You're being very humble, but but I think I remember like Norla was also talking about how like he looked at you, you know.
At the podium. Yeah.
Yeah.
He never leaves me alone. Because he says at the assembly they used to call it class toppers at the top of the
assembly
near the flagpole.
Yeah.
And he said that me and a few other friends used to stand there, but now look at us. We're on the same level now.
Oh.
Things like that. He always says that. And picture after college, I just decided to apply for MBBS because that was a long-standing dream of my father and grandfather. So, Marks ki dazum be EPM's half scholarship.
Oh, yeah.
I got that. And I was thinking, if I got Sri Lanka, I'll go. If I get Bangladesh, I'll not go. Because at that time, Sri Lanka was seen as the place to go for MBBS.
Yeah.
Because in Bangladesh, you had to study 8 years because you have to study an additional year for language. So I got Sri Lanka. It was in a military university. I still remember the name. Kotelawala. Was the first general of Sri Lanka. So they made a university after his name. So first general and prime minister, I think. But so I went there in 2015, November 2015, and I stayed there till 2018. My job is the scientist came in the year I used because it was the first time I got so much freedom and everything like that. And I'll be honest, I wasn't really the studious type. My mom, you just used to force me to study, and I'd study, and maybe because of that, I get such acceptable marks. And down there, I had no one to tell me to study, no one, no guidance, and I just lost myself down there for a few years. And look, by the time I realized, it was kind of too late, because I was, there's a bar exam for MBBS, after 1.5 years. And you pass mathematics, you get 3 chances. By the time I realized, I already failed 2 times. So it was my last chance. And Digandhi, I studied a lot. By the time I realized, I used to sleep at 12 and get up at 5. And from 5 a.m. to 12 midnight, I never lied down because lying down, So I studied a lot after I realized where I was going wrong and things like that. By that time, it was too little, too late. So during my final try, we have 3 subjects, but biochemistry, physiology, and anatomy, human anatomy. So I passed biochemistry and physiology, but human anatomy I failed, so they just kicked me out.
But I think, you know, you made such a bold decision of, like, you know, coming back and I think changing your, you know, course of direction, you changing your study as well. I think you recently graduated, on that one. And, you know, like, you decided to go to RTC. So, like, tell us about this decision that you made. How hard was it? What did it take for you to make such a decision, you know? And I think you're doing amazing at the moment. So tell us about your journey in RTC. How did it start? And, you know, how long did it take for you to actually make this decision?
When I failed and came back, I could feel the disappointment in my parents, even though they didn't really show it. They were supportive and saying, "Gachbar ba gachur jose." But I, deep down, I knew that they were a bit sad that I couldn't complete my MBBS. So I told them that I want to continue MBBS. I want to become a doctor, Sarah.
Because
I felt bad. I felt bad. Even though deep down I didn't really want to become a doctor, and I had no drive to become a doctor. So, but still, for my parents and grandparents' sake, I said that I want to do MBBS, Sarah. So I searched for colleges everywhere. At first, first choice was going back to Sri Lanka to another university. It's at Kandilape, mountainous area where you get to where the study environment is. People from Kandy, they don't really fail much as much as people at Colombo, the capital city. So I was on this table, but they said that I got panic attacks, anxiety attacks, we have to pay triple the amount that they paid us. For my 4 years down there, they paid me like 9 lakhs or something.
Lakhs from my side. That's a huge amount here.
3 lakhs, 27. 27 lakhs still with it if I didn't have a genuine reason. But I did have a genuine reason. So when I told Dahi that I want to go back down there, they were a bit reluctant, saying that, what will you do? You already wasted so much time. They told my mom that it's better if I don't really continue MBBS down there. Because triggers for anxiety and panic attacks, there are many triggers.
Yeah.
So as soon as I get the trigger, I can't help it, but so they were a bit concerned, and they were also saying that Beijing might not accept me because I had 4 years gap after class 12. Even though if I say I failed from another university and came here, they might not like it. If I didn't review what I was doing down, they might not like it even more. So there was two reasons, so I didn't go back to Sri Lanka. The Georgia
in Europe,
next to Russia, the Ukraine. So my father, I don't know how he got it, but he searched for a seat. He got a seat for me there, and I was about to go, but something told me that it wasn't. I really shouldn't go to Georgia, so I said maybe China works. So Georgia, majority around them, that
because of the war.
In China, there were many options because I had a senior Asian who failed from Sri Lanka and went to China. So she helped me get in contact with the Malaysian agent. And he searched for universities for me up there.
Okay.
So IELTS scholarship, I even got my visa and acceptance letter, everything. I even went to get my visa at Delhi right before COVID. As soon as I got back, COVID started. Then borders closed. Since China was the main hub of COVID, everything closed down. The university closed down. Yeah. And I was left with two choices. Either wait for my university up there to open or go another path. My father really wanted me to do MBBS, but I just felt that I needed to stay behind. I don't know, I felt a pull. Artist Jora Jogwese, so it was very hard to convince them. Very, very hard. My father was even upset a bit. Now he's fine. Now he's quite proud and happy.
Yeah, proud of you.
But at that time, he was a bit upset. Oh, yeah, Malawas, yes. But he said, you're my son. I'll always support you. So I decided to join RTC, and I'm quite glad I joined RTC because if I didn't join RTC, although I had started rapping before deciding to join RTC, but it would have been at that Timpo Wonderland Jams, Tim and the Leon, other songs, they wouldn't have come about. That's why RTC holds a place in my heart.
I think you have, you had a whole roller coaster of a ride, right? To where you are right now. But I think all of it was worth it because especially the audience, me as an audience, listening to your songs and, the raps that you put out, it's amazing. And I think this wouldn't have happened if you were doing MBBS in China or somewhere. During that time, would you say that rapping was like a coping mechanism for you, during those hard times when you were deciding and, running around?
I always had interest in rap, but I never had the courage. I used to write raps, but never had the pop. When I heard others rap, Buddhist rapper James Tomda, I used to think that, but never had the pop, never had the friends to support me. And then Then I found out that Norla was also interested in rapping, and there was another friend, Sugar. He's doing his doctor's degree in Thailand. So the three of us, we had interest, so we decided to just take that leap of faith and just go ahead with making a song. The first song we made, Norla had a camera, and from that camera, mic record baby. So it was really unprofessional, but it was our first song, Timpo Wonderland. And from then, we just kept at it and kept going. I never thought that I'd have an audience who'd listen to my songs, who'd like my songs, fans and them. It's still surreal to me right now, so I'm glad,
So, I wanted to talk about Timpo Wonderland. I think this first track of yours was what really made me enjoy your art, the lyrics that you were putting out. So it's amazing. So tell us about Timpo Wonderland. How did you guys come up with this idea? I think it talked about how a guy who had a dream to come to Thimphu came here, but things don't really go the way he thinks it should, right? So tell us about how this idea came about.
At that time, there was a big issue about rural urban migration. Before people from before our generation started going to Australia, there was a big problem with rural urban migration, leaving houses back at home empty. Village, there were many Kuntons, so Norla just wanted to make a song about that, addressing that issue, and from the perspective of someone who decides to take that leap of faith for him, leaving behind his village, leaving behind everything to come to Thimphu in big hopes with big dreams. Trigger also said it in the song, but pocket full of hope, no money but a dream, with just a dream, he comes and it isn't really as it seems when he's here, so he starts suffering Anzumbe. Mm. So it was all based on rural-urban migrations.
Timpu Wonderland holds a special place in my heart because you can actually relate to the track. You know, you can you see the struggle that the character goes through. So just for the love of this song and, for Timpu Wonderland, do you want to, like, maybe sing your verse? Do you want to do that?
I forgot my...
It's okay. Yeah, like, just the freestyle, do something.
I say, apang achita chikulum malaba. Do she na yasi se ladder se anuliasi se, because tachi, once you get into the groove of the hustle, the grind, you start to forget the people that really matter to you. Mm-hmm. Because right now what really matters to you is success, getting money, things like that. But as you realize down the line, as you go on, keep getting the fruits of your labor and things like that, you realize that once you look around, there's no one around you. Mm. So I wanted to model my opening verse like that, because he says that he finally realizes after all the hard work, he was happier back home than he is right now. Mm. He came to Thimphu in search of happiness. But in the music video, it shows that he was happier back in his village with his appa and things like that. Because we take for granted what we have right now.
Mm.
Grass is always green on the other side. In chasing that, we take for granted what we have right now.
Mm.
And when we finally get what we want, we look back and think that what we had was much better than what we are now.
Mm.
So maybe it's through nostalgia, lenses of nostalgia, but I wanted to show that, deliver that sentiment with that opening line.
Mm.
So because everyone is strapped for time, everyone has the fixed 24 hours in the day. So what we do with that, it's up to us, man.
Mm.
And what we mostly do is do us, do you, the legitimate important people. So we don't really give them much, we take them for granted. So I wanted to stress that. And as the verse goes on, I reminisce about what used to be Hema.
Mm.
When he failed class 12, he became sad that he won't get a degree, but his father was still proud of him. Still went out of his way to get him a shoe sap.
Yeah,
because I wanted that shoe to signify the bond between him and his father.
Mm.
And he says in the next line that Lamdia Peasis. So that bond became a bit strained after he went to Thimphu. But he still misses his father. And when he decides to go back, he dies.
Yeah. I think that was so sad because I was really hoping that he would go back home and, you know, like reunite with his father, with his family down there at home. But I think it just that music video really gives us like the bitter truth of what reality really is. And I think that was amazing, and we want to thank you for putting that out.
Thank you.
It's amazing. So let's talk about Beyul. I think you and your friends, you guys have great, formed a group among yourselves, and, people who have a common ground, for the love of rap, for the love of music. So tell us about how this one came about. I think when Thimphu Wonderland was made, it was just you, Norla, and Trigal, right? Yeah. So how did others come in? I think there are a lot of people now in the group. So yeah, tell us about how this was formed.
Here. After Thimphu Wonderland, Trigal had to go back to his college, so it was just me and Norla back then. I have a friend called Pyo Myeongjin. They used to study at RGC, and they had a friend, Jambel Zangbolape. And I heard from Pyo that...
Is that A-Jamp?
A-Jamp, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That he also raps, and he kind of liked our Thimphu Wonderland, so I just asked Pema to set up a meeting so that we could collab on the track. Then the next track that we made was Ride With Me. That was also before Beyul, but just three of us, me, the Jampel, and Norla. And we made it at, there was a place, Norla's office, at near Drukia office.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here, right over there. Over
there. We made a song, Temajin Ta'ani. As soon as we met, we searched for a beat and we wrote everything down then and there. So we just made it because, finding people who have same interests as you And Jumper was a really nice person, so we really liked him. So we decided to make a song instantly, right away. And having the same vibe, same energy, we also were able to make that song any session nara. And we put that song out right with Main Labbe. And we made a music video for that too. And that was how pre-Bail, me, Norla, and Jumper. And then after that, Hapsum Namim.
Oh, yeah, I remember Hapsum.
He's also a friend of Jumper's, and we got close with, because Jumper and Pema both knew Hapsum, and Hapsum used to come over. And Hapsum, he's a straight up business guy. He has interest in, business and things like that. So he said, why not open a studio?
I see him taking on a lot of roles. I think he's like a multi talented guy. He does a lot of things.
He said, why not start a studio? And they decided to, look for places for rent. And so they found one at Namgyal Plaza, it's a Hong Kong market. Avenue 20, And in that building, found a room number 406, Labbe. It was where Bail started. Then on, I don't know who gave the name Bail. I think it was me or Norla. I don't know, but the name Bail was really nice.
Yeah.
It stuck. It stuck on the tongue. So we decided to name it Bail Records. And when it first started, it was just the four of us. And then after a while, on that Ride With Me music video, 61 Chairman.
He
commented on the video saying, brother, let's collab. We were really happy because all of us were fans of 61 Chairman. He really writes nice raps and he has a strong delivery. So we asked for a collab on Zimbabwe. But as soon as we were about to collab, lockdown started. As the lockdowns started to lift eventually. Then we met Sexy. Then we started making collabs and things like that. And Bail solidified as me, Sexy, Jumper, Norla, and Lapsum. So the five of us. And we made Lotus Remix.
That was the first official
Bail song. And after that, my younger brother, cousin brother, Oz, he's also a really talented rapper. And he started coming over. Initially, he was with Achu Atsara.
Then Atsara Entertainment.
He started feeling closer with us, and he started coming with us, and then he also became Bail. And after that, Rigel Labbe, more and more people, Rigel, C, and things like that. Now then Bail formed, and now we are a record label and kind of a rap group, but we haven't really labeled ourselves as that. And now people from Rebellion, CG, Kruya, Tong, Ojilu, the Tong, and Bebe. So anyone's welcome to come.
So it's like an open space for people who just loves rapping and music. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. So, coming back to you, I think one thing that really stands out about you is you rap in Zonka and your delivery is amazing, So have you always been someone who, I think back when we were studying, when we were in middle school, high school, we were told to speak in English in schools, So like, how did that happen? Like your love for, can you say that you have a love for our language or Zonka? You're really good at it. So how did that happen?
There are people much better than me. Not really good, but chichi. So I never really liked speaking in English. So Hemalarani. I'm Shachop, so I used to speak Shachop at home. And my daddy, he used to scold me that English loves English lab. And aunties, they speak English lab. But I never really spoke English. Unless I had to, like right now.
Really
spoke English.
Himalera,
I used to find it important to preserve our identity, cultural tradition. Not saying speaking English is bad. But as a young person, if I started speaking English, that would be the language that I'd grow more comfortable in. And once I started getting comfortable in English, then I'd just stick to English. Then eventually I might even lose interest in things like that. For my own identity, so I wouldn't be good in English, and I'd lose my touch, my unique touch, Bhutanese touch. So I was really passionate about being Bhutanese, our culture. Class 9 and Geslan. I used to really love Geslan, so maybe that helped in rap lyrics that you need. Maybe that helped.
So that what pushed you towards like preserving it and loving the language. But yeah, I think even in one of your raps, you talked about how Zonghalab meets Basti Wala. Yeah. So yeah, that's there. But you know, like in general, what would you say about the Dzongkha stereotype that we have here? You know, I think many people, not many, but like few people talk about how like Dzongkha is very limited. It doesn't give you, it's not a very, you know, expressive language. So would you say that Dzongkha is a very, you know, limited language when it comes to expressing oneself?
The thing that I saw is since we were educated in English and most subjects, almost all subjects were taught to us in English, we have learned to structure our sentences the English way, not the Dzongkha way. So
we think in English, most of us.
You translate English to Dzongkha before you speak. So that's what makes you find Dzongkha limited. So if you, you know, structure your sentence, Dzongkha sentences, the way Dzongkha was meant to be structured, you won't feel the limits as much as you do. Because even I sometimes I have to translate from English to Dzongkha, Shachup to Dzongkha, not structuring the sentences the way Dzongkha was meant to be spoken. So I think that's the main issue we have right now. Because we have been conditioned to get more comfortable with English. So that's the first choice of communication. Zonghalab de Beru, because we have been always grilled with English, 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 English in our subjects. We think in English and we translate our English thoughts to Dzongkha. So that makes Dzongkha sound a bit robotic, stiff. Dzongkha is a language really poetic though, really poetic, really free flowing if you really get into it.
Yeah, I think I listen to your raps and it comes so easily to you, you know, like when you rap in Dzongkha, and sometimes you feel like, oh, I think I can speak Dzongkha as good as you as well, you know. But I think for us, like you said, we have been conditioned to, you know, think in English, and we were taught in English. We were told to speak English in school. So I think that's where we kind of went wrong, I guess. I don't know if we can say that, but yeah. Yeah, so I think it's really interesting that you're trying to do your part in, you know, like expressing yourself in our language, and it's amazing. So like, are there any challenges when you try to rap in Dzongkha, when you write your lyrics in Dzongkha?
One thing is people really don't like being told what to do. So I figured that out. So even if I want to promote Dzongkha, even if I want to say don't speak Dzongkha, promote Dzongkha, that's the top, I really can't say it directly. I have to first, people are much better off wanting to do something themselves instead of being told. So what I try to do is I try to create a sense of pride, things like that, create a sense of wanting, so that they want to preserve Dzongkha instead of being told. Because if you're told to do something, high chances are you're going to do the exact opposite. So it's quite hard structuring my sentences, structuring my lyrics that way. And another thing is Dzongkha spelling. So hard. So most of the rest I write in Dzongkha, English transliteration. So Dzongkha and English and JB. Dzongkha spelling is so hard. So it's, you know, I won't place blames to anyone, but education system, especially the people in Thimphu. I think the other Dzongkhaks are much better off rural places. So
that's there. I think, like you said, it just stems down to the system, the education system that we are brought up in. So yeah, that's there. So now, you know, moving on to the rapping scene in Bhutan, what would you say about it? We have a lot of rappers coming up nowadays, you know. So what is your thought on that?
I'm quite proud of what the music scene in Bhutan has become. We started from, you know, singers being hired just for their voice, lyrics car and Rui Dijin, sometimes Bongulami Kui Dijin, or the music for the movies, the songs strictly for the movies, and few original songs, artistic song, artistic choice, artistic integrity, my songs. But as time passed and as SoundCloud era came, then people started expressing their creativity, artistic creativity, and more songs, more singers, more rappers came about. And I'm quite proud of what the Bhutanese music scene is looking to be, even though there's not much money in there right now, but at least there's artistic integrity, something which was absent just like 2 decades ago, the mid-2000s. Maybe a few bands, few singers like that, but what it is right now and what it was, because thanks to SoundCloud, I think the main thanks is to SoundCloud, people started rapping, got their platform, and people and Jubin Mitsuya, Hema, they used to listen to a lot of English songs, but now I find many people listen to Tsonga songs on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Spotify
yes.
Premium along with Mona because of SoundCloud. The SoundCloud scene is vibrant right now,
mm-hmm.
and also in part thanks to music video makers like Ishendo, Rukjel, and things mm-hmm. like that. Tsonga songs are gaining popularity in Bhutan and sometimes in the neighboring Indian states as well. I think the music scene right now is growing, and I hope it continues like that.
I think it's like in a very nurturing state right now. Yeah. People are encouraging our young artists, and I think our king himself, he is a very big fan of a lot of our young artists. And I think even during the National Day, you know, having all of our young artists, our rappers, and all these dancers coming up to perform for the nation, I think that was a really big encouragement. And I think it's amazing, like you said, it is in a very interesting and growing state right now.
That's the only way that Bhutan can stand on equal footing with other nations. Military lin bemitsup, economic lin bemitsup, soft power takachamchin hope the word. Soft power can be built up by just a bunch of people, Korea and the BTS and Zoom.
Yeah, exactly.
So soft power, you know, sovereignty itself banks on how uniquely we are Bhutanese and how we establish ourselves to the international audience. And I think the music scene is where a lot of soft power lies. So
yes I think that's there. I think we even have like artists going out to perform these days, you know. It's amazing. So you know, now talking about our rapping scene here in Bhutan, what do you think about the resources that we have? Do you think Bhutan is doing a great job at, you know, giving these young talents enough resources to promote themselves, music?
I think Bhutan is doing the best with the cards that we were dealt. Since we don't have a large population, we're not that rich, local producers, local studios, they're doing the best. And you know, music video makers are also, they also don't charge exorbitant amounts. Some music video makers, others, I don't know, I won't speak on that. But some, they don't charge exorbitant amounts. You know, they're supporting the nurturing scene, they're letting it grow.
Yeah.
So I think that we're doing the best we can right now.
You know, what would you like to see in Bhutan? Like any changes, anything new, you know, regarding the creative industry? We, like you said, we are doing the best, you know, but if there were to be some changes, something new, what do you want to see?
Maybe more support for rappers.
Mm-hmm.
Because currently right now, although the youth, the people on the streets, they like rap.
Yeah.
The, you know, organizers, bar owners, they think differently. They think that rap is rowdy. They think that rappers are drug addicts. They think that rappers always fight. And they don't really give a lot of opportunities for rappers unless we go knocking on their door and saying that we want to perform, we want to make a show here, we want to book that place. They don't really call us. Whereas for bands, they, you know, they call the bands. They support bands and singers like that. So if the stereotype about rappers can be removed, because most of the rappers I know, they aren't like that. They're just really passionate about the craft, their art, and things like that. They aren't really, you know, rowdy people. They're good people. And if they get the support that they deserve, I think they'll really shine, because they're really talented. They just need the platform and the support. Although the platform's being given for recording music, for releasing music, but for performing the music that they release, no, but for showcasing it to the audience, I think that it's a bit rare. Currently, though, the mega festivals and so the organizers, those organizers are, you know, more open-minded. They call the rappers, they include everyone. So Jimmy Thakadi, the Bhutanese population, they really support. Yeah, Bhutanese support Bhutanese baby. So I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, I think especially the Funsling, starting from the Funsling Mega Night, and now here in Thimphu, you know, all these music festivals are really helping our young talents, you know, gain the confidence that they need and the support. So that's great. Now, you know, now that you are a business graduate, since you have you recently graduated, right? So from RTC, and you studied like business, right? There. So now that you're a business graduate, what do you plan to do with that degree of yours? Do you want to take, you know, keep going with your music career, or do you want to combine the two of it and do something out of it? What plans do you have from here on?
I did a degree in marketing, so I think it fits really well with what I'm doing right now, mm. music career, segmenting, targeting, positioning, segmenting the population, mm. things like that. And I plan to use the knowledge that I gained at RTC mm. to help further build records and the rap career, getting, selling, maybe selling merch, getting more audience interactions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I plan to, you know, fully focus on music using the knowledge I gained at RTC. You know.
And what does your parents think? Your parents think about this? Your family, you know, this huge change, this shift that you have taken, and the person that you have become right now, the place that you're in right now, the rapping career that you are, you know, working towards. What does your family think about it? Are they proud of you? Are they happy?
They're quite supportive mm. because they don't really place any obstacles in my way to mm. you know, record, release mm. songs. They're supportive. Sometimes I have to stay late because recording Masole, record Baby, I stay late, and my mom understands even then. And she sometimes even comes to get me after my recording's done. Mm. And as for music videos and shows, my aunts, uncles, mom, they really, you know, they say good luck. Mm. You know, you're doing well, proud of you, things like that. So mm. they have support. Mm. And I guess I'm quite lucky in that aspect. But they also, you know, they're also quite concerned since there's not a lot of money in there. So,
mm.
so they're concerned about my future.
Mm.
But I plan to do this fully, 100% Chinggis Nui.
Okay, you want to stick to it
mm.
and you're confident about it. That's amazing. I think that's what we need in an artist. So great. Yeah, coming to the end of it, you know, what are things that you are grateful for, you know, in this journey that you have taken till now? Anything that you want to shout out, that you want to give out to some people?
I'm grateful for my BL friends, because without them, I wouldn't be rapping. I'd just be another person, bitter more.
Mm.
Bitter that they're chasing the dreams and I can't, things like that. Mm. Maybe I'd be a China or something like that.
Mm.
I'd be a husk of myself, because mm. I won't really be living, just studying, just doing things for the sake of doing it. Won't be passionate about anything, because music was something that was really passionate in me. And so,
mm.
and firstly for those, then to my mom, to my father, to everyone in my family who supports me. And without them, I wouldn't be here too.
Mm.
I wouldn't be born right there.
Mm.
And last but not least, the supporters, fans, love them more.
Mm.
Because without them, we'd just be shouting to the air, the most screaming mm. out into the air. No one would listen.
Mm.
For art to be appreciated, someone who appreciates it, mm. so for everyone who appreciates us, mm. a heartfelt gratitude.
With this, we have come to the end of our segment on expressions, and this was Shinkam, our you know, up and coming rapper. And I think the most amazing part of Shinkam is that he raps in Dzongkha, and he does it so amazing that you just appreciate the language yourself. So thank you so much, Shinkam, TTJ, for coming here and, you know, taking out some time to talk about yourself. And I think, you know, the story that you're putting out today might be, you know, relatable to a younger person as well, and maybe it would help someone move forward to something that they are really passionate about. So thank you so much, TTJ.
Apaki majo lab the lodging money bound disease no. Kirashi dumo, mitsigisum. Palisatum, temple egi bobion. Temple heb done miki bulurami. Laura Sanyapa. Tiro chicharri poira. Josagilam jandanunga. Michu lichar bishuira. Nara the pond de dada. Pa ikarake. Na mikarak yome. Na hesiji migar. Tura tome. Yapa, ano jobra teome. Yasi apa danga jogoben jutungi betje zosi.
trying to stop, but why is it so hard? Pray to God, give me the strength to carry on. Trying to start, but why is it so hard? Face the truth of this world so cruel. Trying to stop, but why is it so hard? Pray to God, give me the strength to carry on.